Hi there, you're listening to the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. We're Alana, Kyle, and Tira, friends who have a heart for intimacy and long to uncover God's truth and design for sexual freedom within marriage. If you enjoy listening to our episodes or like our content over on Instagram, would you consider leaving a review or subscribing? It really helps. Welcome here.
All right, so we have two amazing guests today. We have Mary Flo and Megan from Birds and Bees, and they are going to be talking to us all about how to talk to our kids about sex. So This podcast, you've heard us talk to you guys about sex in your marriage. Now we're going to talk to you as parents, how to talk to your kids about sex in a healthy and godly way. And Mary Flo and Megan, they chose a verse for today. They chose 2 Timothy 1:7, which reads, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Guys, welcome to the show. And do you mind just telling us why you chose this verse in particular?
We're so excited to be here and dive into a really fun conversation. We chose that verse, I think, because, or not I think, I know, because I feel like with this topic of talking to your kids about sex, it is surrounded with fear. And I think that is the most common reaction that parents have. It's like fear or dread. You know, I don't want to do this. I'm afraid of talking about this. This is awkward. This is uncomfortable. I'm dreading it. I'm afraid of what everyone else is going to say, or what the culture is going to say. There's so much fear tangled up into this topic. The Bible specifically says, like, do not be, you know, I've not given you a spirit of timidity. And it is our job as parents, and really our privilege as parents, to get to teach our kids about God's gift of sex and to really explain that what the Bible says about that. And so do not be afraid. Do not, you know, do not let fear hold you back from these conversations. And so that is kind of our mantra of empowerment to parents, of like, God has given you these children, and he's equipped you to have these conversations. So don't let fear get in the way.
And that really is what we're trying to do, is to help them not be afraid by equipping them. We feel like we're equipping the saints when we give this course. And we have, as believers, a beautiful story to tell. And we don't need to be afraid to tell it. God started telling it right in the very first chapters. And it's also of love and power. If we love our children, we want them to grow up understanding the beauty of God's design. And it's a powerful thing. Sex is a very powerful thing. So we want to be sure they understand that as well.
Yeah. That's so good.
That's awesome. This is going to be great. So maybe just start off with telling us a little bit about your guys' selves, maybe your upbringings, your stories, and then how you guys connected. Because if I remember correctly, you guys are not related, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So yeah, this would be an interesting story for everyone to hear.
Exactly. They think that. But we've known each other a very long time.
Okay, sweet.
I started giving this course in 1986. I was really getting some questions as a mom of young children. I had a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And then when, you know, I was getting those questions, because I grew up in a family where the word sex was never said. There were no conversations. I didn't even get the talk. I got zero. And, but I had wonderful, loving parents. I you know, really did, but they just didn't cover that topic at all. So when my children started asking questions, I thought, can I answer? I don't know. I know the answer, but can I give it to you? And so in my mind, I thought, I know I'm going to do a little bit better than my parents. I will definitely have the talk, but I didn't anticipate the questions coming when they were four. But that's really when they're curious. That's when they want to know, how's that baby getting out of there? How did that baby get in there? So it didn't seem logical to me to hold on to those answers until they were at an awkward age. So here it's saving the awkward questions for the awkward age is like double whammy. No, it's a double no. So I just really thought about it and prayed about it and came up with a curriculum that would allow us to unfold the story in small conversations instead of holding it all in and for a 1 hour part with a preteen. So, so as the questions came, that's kind of the genesis of how all this started. So I did this for a long time, and it just grew as a topic. I was just a speaker around Texas mostly, and I would just show up and give the course, and it was kind of almost 100%. I would say 100%. Like, parents were like, "Thank you, we needed that." So then Megan heard me speak.
So I was teaching middle school here in Dallas after college. I was a middle school teacher, and I had gotten this. I was teaching these preteens and just kind of overwhelmed by how sexualized their little worlds had become. And so that was kind of like in the back of my brain. And this afternoon I was passing out these flyers to the parents. It says, you know, parents, learn how to talk to your kids about sex with Mary Flo Ridley. And I knew Mrs. Ridley because I grew up with her children. And I had no idea that it's like the secret job. And so I was like, Mary Flo Ridley? What? Anyway, so I was like, I have got to go to this because A, I know Mary Flo Ridley, and B, I need to know about what these my little to help my little students. I was not a parent myself yet, but I was kind of going in through the lens of middle school teacher. Anyway, so I went to the program that night and I sat in the back to kind of check in the parents and, you know, see if I could learn anything, whatever. And I was just blown away. Everything she said, I was just like, And I just like, if every parent could teach or talk to their kids about sex in this way, middle school could look so different. Looking back, I realized even if every parent could talk to their kids about sex, the way marriages could look so different. You know, we as a culture, particularly a Christian culture, we're not speaking about sex in healthy ways.
Right.
So that was like this resounding, looking back, this is just the beginning of God putting this message on my heart of like, everyone's got to know this. Everyone's got to know this. And then flash forward. So that was an exciting thought in my head, and then, you know, carry on with your life. And then, my husband and I went on to have some children of our own. I was pregnant with my second child at this point. And, we actually lived in Peru. We were out on a project for my husband's job. And so on the other side of the world, and I flew home to give birth to my second child. And so I was in town to deliver my child. And I ran into Mary Flo's daughter, who's an old friend of mine. And we were just chit chatting and catching up. And she kind of says off, you know, off the cuff, like, oh, well, my mom's kind of, you know, ready to step back a bit, but I don't want to take over. And neither does my sister. This is weird, you know, it's a weird job.
Somehow they just didn't have the college.
Okay. Who was very pregnant with my second child living abroad was kind of like, I might want to. And I just kind of said it out loud. And then the rest is history. We kind of got together a few days later and
prayed about it.
Yeah. And it was cool. Mary Flo said, you know, I've been praying for someone for a long time. And I felt very clear of like, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. And she was like, I think you're right. And it was really cool. Yeah. I mean, so then I started training with her. We went back to Peru. I had the baby, went back to Peru, and then we moved back to the States probably 6 to 8 months after that. But, then when I got home, I just shadowed her. I was kind of like a little apprentice for probably a year and a half and just went to every little program she went through and just heard her give the spiel so many times. And I would sit in the back and take notes. So I just kind of started training under her. And then we joined forces. And then a year or two later, we kind of rebranded everything to be Birds and Bees. And we just kind of started.
Formed a company, a little LLC. And then in November of 2019, we videotaped the whole thing because we were getting a lot of invitations that we couldn't, you know, go to. And so we videotaped it and we uploaded the workbook to be digital so everything could be online. And then 2 months later, the 35 speaking events we had on our And so it took a while for us to kind of, my goodness, well, our business just went away. And then it was like, ding, no, we have it on video. And Megan, who is so good at Instagram, got on Instagram and started telling people about the course. So it's actually been of a benefit to us to have had COVID because it has gone farther and wider than we would have been able to go in our speaking world.
For sure. Because COVID, I mean, COVID came and like our whole world stopped as did everybody else's. And our whole business model stopped. And then personally, I stopped. I was at home with three kids. You know, my COVID hit, I had an 18-month-old, 5-year-old, 7-year-old. So it was like, we're not working. Like we are just surviving. So it was not an immediate thing. I would say 2020 was like a year of like pause. And then 2021, I thought, okay, well, if we're going to grow, then it's going to have to be digitally. And Instagram, as you guys know, you have a large platform on Instagram. It's a weird place to be. And you kind of have to get over yourself a little bit, particularly with our subject matter. And so I finally felt that conviction of like, this is what I'm supposed to do.
This is where our people are.
Yeah. This and is the message I feel like I have to share. And this is the platform on which I feel like I'm supposed to share it. And so I'm going to get over myself and show up and do this. And it's been really cool to watch the reach that that's allowed. It's been fun. Yeah. It's I never thought I signed on to be like this sex ed person on Instagram. Like that is like, wow. I never thought I'd be here. But, it's funny sometimes to hear my kids try to explain my job to their friends. I'm like, just don't, mom stays home. Don't talk about that.
Sure. Just on the computer.
Yeah. It's like, she makes videos on Instagram about birds and bees. I'm like, no, just don't talk about it. Anyway, that is a very long-winded way of saying, it's been a journey and like, you know, what started off one way and speaking and anyways, then we kind of repackaged it all to be the online course. And anyways, but it's cool because we are able to reach parents all over the world, which we never thought we'd be able to do. So it's been really cool.
The Lord has been very faithful to this work, and we're especially grateful for that. He's really helped move us along when we didn't have the capacity to do that. So we felt very, very obviously blessed by the Lord's faithfulness to this message.
Awesome. That's so cool.
Love it.
Maybe if you guys don't mind, just start off. If our listeners leave with one thing from this episode, what is the one thing you want them to leave knowing about talking to your kids about sex?
We want you to know you can do this. You know, we just want you to know that whatever doubts you have, you can do it, but you will not do it perfectly. So just put that aside. That you could do this perfectly. No one does it perfectly. We have a favorite phrase in Birds and Bees called circle back. You're going to have a conversation with your child and you're going to walk away and that night you're going to think, you know, that just didn't go well. Or I'll bet their impression is this. And I really meant to say that. And that's the beauty of it is you can go back to them. They still live with you and you're driving them to soccer and you can say, you know, that conversation we had day before yesterday, I can't get out of my mind. I don't feel like I left the right impression. I'm going to start over again. Can I do that over again? And so there's just a lot of grace in doing this drip, drip, drip method instead of just the one-time talk. Because if there is a one-time talk, that's when you feel the pressure. I've got to get this right. Yeah. So you can do it, but you won't do it perfectly, I guess is what I...
Yeah. I would say just to piggyback on that, the circle back, I think is freeing as parents to hear that. If you mess up, you know, that's the beauty of the multiple conversations is try again, sweetheart. Oh, I should have said this and I didn't say it to you. I'm going to try again, you know, but this topic's really important to me. And so I'm going to keep trying. So circle back. And then a phrase that we love that I think is just a really great take home is I'm so glad you asked. And so no matter the question, you know, what does this phrase mean or how do, you know, babies get out of there or whatever the question is. Oh, that's a great question. I'm so glad you asked. And really just hammering that phrase home. That is like one of the biggest trademarks of Birds and Bees. Because it does two things. It affirms their curiosity. You know, kids are curious. Kids ask questions. And so by saying, I'm so glad you asked, you know, like you're affirming their little curious brains, even if you're tired or even if you're not really glad they asked, it lets them know that you are. And then that's a great question. You know, so what you want them to know, we love your questions and I'm so glad you asked me. So we are
the right place.
You're affirming their curiosity and confirming that they've come to the right place. And so you're kind of just like continuing to create this safe place for your kids to come to with questions. And that's what we want moms and dads to be, is a safe place for their questions, because they're going to be confused about things and hear things that don't line up with your family's values or whatnot. And so you want to over and over again, reiterate that this is where you come. This is who's got answers. And this is a safe place to ask these questions. And so little phrases like that, and just giving yourself the permission to mess up and try again, just I think it's going to allow to kind of help foster a community in your home or a culture in your home of trust and communication.
Yeah. I love also like, because I watched the course too, I love it. Another saying was, by God's design, this is how it is. And I love that because it also like, even just speaking that out of your own mouth, just gives you the confidence too, to be like, oh yeah, yeah, this is how God designed it. I'm going to share how God designed it, you know, instead of going like, okay, yeah, two bodies. And it's like, okay, by God's design, this is what happens.
And it also, that, I love that you noticed that, because that centers it into what it was originally designed to be, and it brings reverence to it. But it this is not something that mommy and daddy made up, and it's not a culturally it's not a cultural invention. This is part of what was true even before sin came in. So he designed it. He had a perfectly wonderful design. And so you're sharing something that he is not embarrassed about. And so you don't have to be embarrassed to talk to your kids about it. So I'm glad you noticed that.
It's
a good starting point.
I also love the, one of our big takeaways when we did it was the, have you ever wondered? Because our kids, like, they're in La La Land and they have not been asking any questions. And so it's like, okay, you're kind of at the age now where we got to have this conversation. And so, like, in the course, that came up numerous times. And now it's like, hey, son, have you ever wondered? That's been really helpful.
And I think that's also that phrase I think is so empowering as parents, too, because you're going to have those kids who ask a ton of questions and things come really easily, but you're also going to have the kid who isn't asking questions. And so I think that phrase empowers parents to be the proactive parent. That's what we want you to be, is a engaged in these topics. And if you don't feel like the questions are coming naturally, don't be afraid to take the lead. You know, have you ever wondered about, you know, babies and where they come from? Have you ever wondered how that baby's going to get out? It's just, I think, kind of helps give the, I mean, they give the authority back to the parents. And that's something that we say too, is we want parents to be the loving authority on this topic. And so whether your child's asking questions or not, you can still engage and move towards your children with this.
That's
so good.
First, or another question, how to introduce the dangers and cautions of pornography to children at age-appropriate levels?
Well, we introduce a lot of dangers to our children, but this one takes on internally for parents more of a fear and an awkwardness than warning them about the oven or warning them about, you know, getting into a swimming pool without
crossing the street.
Yeah. All the things that we already warn them about, but we encourage parents to use the same tone about pornography when as the same as you are about something hot on the stove or crossing the street. So, you know, try to not ramp up your emotion that you're sharing with your child that you might be feeling. And so that's something you have to think about before you talk to them. And then we also, instead of using the word pornography, we start off with talking just about screen safety.
So for little kids, you know, my kid, I have little kids and they're on screens, you know, we try to be mindful, but we are definitely not screen free. And so I just try to reiterate in our home often this idea that we need to be really careful when we're around screens. And just in the same way that Mary Flo was mentioning, when they come into the kitchen and the oven's on, you kind of say over and over again, oh, guys, be really careful. The stove's on, you know, it can be really hot. That's not something you say one time, you know, first time they're in the kitchen. It's not something you sit down. Everyone sit down. I want to pull up third degree burns and show y'all how awful this is. You know, we don't terrorize them, but we just kind of include this in our mindful way of gotta be really careful. The stove's on. It's like when we're watching a show or they're looking at my phone in the doctor's office waiting for something, you know, mommy's going to type in the password because we got to be really careful with what we see on screens. So you're just kind of letting them know you're going ahead of this. You're, you know, preempting these situations to protect them. So they know, okay, we got to be careful around this. It's not a free for all. You know, or we're not going to watch these certain apps unless mommy or daddy's in the room because certain things pop up and we try to be really careful with what we see. And then there's this whole notion of good pictures and bad pictures and just laying kind of the groundwork for your kids. You know, there are some good things on this screen, but there can also be some bad things or scary things or violent things, you know, however you want to define these words, but to kind of give your child a heads up that we need to be careful. And then just to also reiterate that these conversations, like I said earlier, aren't just a one and done conversations. These are happening often in your home. You know, have them again before you go over to someone's house to play. Have them again before you get together with the cousins. You know, or if they're doing play dates that are drop-offs or things where you're like no longer in there, you're not supervising them all the time anymore as they get a little bit older. Just these are conversations that, again, are drip, drip, drip. And the conversation about pornography obviously will evolve as your children get older. And then you can introduce the actual word pornography and all these things. But when they're very little, I would say even as young as 3 years old, you can start saying, we got to be really careful around screens. You know, we want to protect our little eyes.
And if you see something on a screen, what to do about it. You really want to prepare them because in this day and age, I really don't think it's a matter of if, but when.
Yeah.
That They will either accidentally or on purpose see some pornography. So to give them a step-by-step process, if you ever should see a picture that makes you feel funny inside or it scares you or people are don't have their clothes on, just turn the iPad over. In other words, don't try to click out of it. Just turn it over and come find me. Give them something that they can do specifically and maybe even practice that. You know, you're holding the iPad. Okay, let's say a bad picture comes up. What do you do? I'll go in the other way. Mm-hmm. They turn it over and come to me and say, there was a bad picture on the screen. You are not a bad person because you've seen a bad picture.
Yeah.
We're all just trying to manage these screens. And sometimes things pop up that no one wants to be there. And so you come and let me know. So that's just a, you know, but if you can do it in a very subtle, just like you would practice other things, you know, it's not, it doesn't heighten the fear about all of
that.
Yeah.
And even to be like, and if you're not sure if it's a, you know, something that is bad or good or whatever, still, you can still flip it over and come and get me, like, regardless of what it is. Right. Like, yeah.
Right. I think it's helpful too. Like, we've had people say, you know, my kid came and told me they saw a bad picture and I went in the other room to see what they were talking about. And it was like a very scary and violent thing or whatever. So obviously not pornography whatsoever. But I think as parents, or at least purposeful parents, Christian parents, whatever category you want to claim, I think it's healthy to kind of help our kids like strengthen their discernment.
Yeah.
I think that's a word that's really important as we kind of parent, as kids get older.
The internal filter.
Yeah. It's like a muscle that they kind of need to grow. That made me feel funny. I want to get out of this. And to Mary Flo, what she just said is this, with the phrase internal filters. You know, I think now in this tech saturated world, parents are so focused, as they should be, on filters for devices and, you know, what filters are y'all using or what programs are you doing to cover this and this and Apple settings and whatever. And all those things are great and do them and, you know, whatever. But these conversations that we're having with our kids build up their internal filter. And that is something that you really want strong, because you can have all the filters in your life and it takes 2 seconds for them to be sitting next to somebody and say, hey, look at this.
Yeah.
You know, well, good job for your filters, because they didn't have filters, you know, so you need those internal filters with your children. And that is kind of helps build that discernment muscle of like, that didn't feel good. I'm going to go tell, I don't like the way that picture made me feel, or that video was too scary, or that was too whatever. And so I think it's just kind of helping our kids little by little, understand the dangers of those things.
Mm-hmm. Another question we have for you when it comes to sex more so. So when a child walks in on you or say they heard things, or like start asking questions, how do you respond to that? If your kid's like, I heard like mommy was making sounds, like what was going on? How do you address that to your children?
Well, I thought that was an interesting question that you put on the list. I thought about that because I thought, first of all, if a child does hear something, that can be alarming to them. So I would say it's a two-side thing, that the parents need to be mindful that there are other people in the house. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's not something that is helpful for your family to be making enough noise to disturb the children. But also, one thing that I would be sure that you get is a lock on the door. Because actually my OB, that was his baby present for new mothers.
That's amazing. Wow.
And the father was in the room and he just had this little deadbolt that he gave everyone. He said, now that you have a baby, you need one of these on your door.
That's funny.
Because you cannot really mentally engage if you think the whole time someone may be walking in.
Yeah.
And so this is a gift to you of privacy. Mm-hmm. And so I would say get a lock and lock it. That's the nicest thing you can do for each other. And then teach children that you always knock before you come in. That's a good thing to learn to do. Also, get a good sound machine for your children's room. But as far as the sounds, if they can still hear, then I would say it's on the parents to be making those noises, because they're that's just asking for, you know, you have other people in the house. So,
and then as far as someone, you know, kids walking in or whatnot, I think obviously this happens a lot and we get a lot of questions about this. But I think it's just, there's not a blanket statement answer, because it depends on, well, how old is your child?
Yeah.
What did your child actually see? What's their reaction? you know, are they like groggily still asleep and you throw a robe on and kind of walk them back to their room, then maybe don't circle back. You know, yeah. If they're upset about it, then maybe talk, you know, so I think it just depends on, there's so many nuances on this topic conversation, which can all be alleviated if you have a lock on your door. But I think it's to Mary Flo's point, it's like, we are the adult in the situation. You know, we are the parent. And so we need to be mindful of those things. But I think you can explain in calm ways, like worst case scenario, your child has this understanding that sex is something that mom and dad do. That's not a bad thing.
Right.
You know, it's not a bad understanding, you know, but I think as far as it, I think a lot of your explanation goes off to what they actually saw, what their reaction is, and their previous understanding of what sex is too.
Right.
Yeah, I think this can be a bit of an opportunity as long as the parent is already equipped and not like, I don't know what to right. say now, right? It can be used as an opportunity if it does happen to happen.
Right. And it does happen. We're not here to act like, I mean, right. not all the time.
Yeah.
We get this question a lot. Yes. And so it's more of like a, there are lots of conversations that could be a springboard for defining what sex is. But I think based on your child's emotional response, that may not be the best time to say, you know what? I'm so glad you asked. What law is, you know, it's like, that's probably not the best time because emotionally they're probably not ready for this information. They're probably just upset. And so maybe just like saying, you know, I think a lot of times the emotional reaction from a child or what parents see or what we hear a lot of mm-hmm. is a child is confused or scared and embarrassed, mm-hmm. you know? And so as the adult, take the blame. I am so sorry. That happened. That is on us for not locking the door. That is on us. You did nothing wrong. I think that is kind of the adult response is instead of focusing on teaching moment, kind of take away, they are going to feel weird, especially depending on their age, you know? And so to not make them feel embarrassed or something, right. just reassuring, you did nothing wrong. This is our fault, you know, fault completely. We should have locked the door. Something that's very private that nobody else should ever see. Your dad and I love each other very much. This is a way of showing, you know, whatever you want to explain it, but kind of taking the responsibility, because I think sometimes right. kids are not looking for a learning opportunity here. They probably weren't right. looking for much at all, except for maybe a cold glass of water. And so instead of like focusing on the teaching moment, you know, just kind of focus on taking the, you know, blame, not blame. You don't want to say responsibility of like, you yeah. did nothing wrong. Because I think initially they're going to feel like this is my fault kind of thing.
Right.
What did I do? Or yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or I should have done that. Or, I don't want to get in trouble. That kind of thing. Right. But, oh, sorry, that was not your fault. We should yeah. have been the private thing that nobody should see. We should have locked the door.
And I think right. you can say that must have been confusing for you or just relate mm-hmm. to the feelings that they might have, mm-hmm. but to say nothing, nobody was hurting each other. This is a special way that mommy and daddy love each other, but I'm sorry that, but it's supposed to be very private. So mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
Okay. Another question. My 2.5-year-old baby girl has discovered that her privates are pleasurable to touch. It is super awkward for me, but I also know this is developmentally appropriate. With that, I don't want to shame her or encourage this, as we know this good feeling is reserved for marriage. How on earth do I handle this? Mm-hmm.
Ta-da. This is our one.
Yeah, question. This is another. We call it hands in the pants.
Yeah.
This is, she's correct. Developmentally, this is normal, but we don't want it to be habit forming, and we want our children to understand that there are some things that are developmentally normal that we need to teach them out of. And so, especially with other people around, you know, it's like, we don't let them just put their finger up their nose without making some comment, handing them a tissue and redirecting and let's go wash our hands. This is kind of the same thing. So I want parents to think about manners because that makes other people very uncomfortable to see you touching your genitals. Yeah. And number two, manners and hygiene. Like that you have underwear on because that kind of can be a germy area and you've just gone to the bathroom and now you're using the same hand to do this and then you're going to pick up that chicken nugget. No. So let's you know, think about the hygiene of it, but not in a shameful way. You don't have to use a shameful voice or you're doing something terrible, but a matter-of-fact tone that is just redirecting them and giving them guidance because, you know, it is normal. It is curiosity. It is body exploration, all of that. They're not doing something naughty, but they need to be taught the manners and the hygiene to manage that.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we focus on habits, hygiene, and manners. And I think your question covered all the hot topics of, mm-hmm. You kind of have two camps of people. One that say, like, that doesn't bother me at all, more power to you. And like, so they're not the ones coming with questions. What the questions we get, and probably you guys get too, is, okay, they're doing this, but I don't really want them to do this. So how do I get them to stop without creating shame? Well, a bad way to answer would be like, stop, get your hands out of your pants. It's gross. Stop mm-hmm. that. You know, like that is creating shame. And our children are not sensual, or they don't understand what they're doing from a sexual point of view. You know, they're not thinking, oh, this body part feels good. I'm going to rub it and, you know, whatever. But we also need to meet them in our reaction, like in a very calm tone of voice. Like Mary Flo said, tone of voice is so important, in the same tone as if they had their finger in their nose, but also in the same age appropriate level. You know, I don't think it makes any sense for a child. It's more confusing. It's like, sweetheart, I know that feels so good, but that is a special feeling for when you're married. It's like, what? Yeah. Like that is confusing. Right? Yeah. What are you talking about? You know, so I think it's kind of like, you can't tie this to something that they have no concept of.
Yeah.
They're not like, what are you talking about? Like, it's weird, you know? And also like, that's kind of weird. So don't respond like that. Just be like, oh, sweetheart, you know, your vagina is a very delicate part of your body. Let's get our hands out of there. We want to be really careful. You know, Mary Flo said, oh, we just went to the bathroom. That's, you know, we just went to the bathroom with your penis. You're touching it. Now let's go wash our hands. You know, or some people say, well, I don't want to say that because I don't want my child to think that their penis is a dirty part or their vagina is dirty. And so to that, we say, great, flip the script. You know, oh, sweetheart, your hands have so much germs on them. If you're going to put your hands in your pants, that can be really, you know, our private parts are very mm-hmm. delicate. Let's get our hands out of our pants. Come over here and help me, you know, sort these Legos or whatever it is. It kind of calm, consistent, and move on. I think your tone of voice is key. And then to the point, a lot of times you get questions of like falling asleep at night, more soothing techniques. Right. I would say don't panic about those. Like if it's happening in the living room in front of siblings, speak into that calmly, consistently, whatever. Most kids grow out of this habit. We have had a long conversation with a pediatrician on one of our podcast episodes about this. And she's the one who taught us the phrase body exploration, because the phrase masturbation is like a hot topic, particularly in Christian circles. And so you have these parents who are all strung out on that, and they look over and their four-year-old's doing it like, it's just a trajectory, and she's going to be so, you know, promiscuous because this is what she's doing it for.
Yeah.
Projecting, when really it has nothing to do with that. And so most kids grow out of this habit, you know, they become more socially aware of their surroundings. They're not going to be sticking their hands in their pants when they're walking down the hallway. So most of the kids grow out of this, but as a parent, don't overreact. Don't tie it to something that they have no understanding of, and keep your tone of voice in check.
Yeah, awesome. Great answer. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next is, what to do if my son seems very feminine or my daughter seems very masculine in their personality and or toy choices?
Well, I would say that, once again, don't panic. Also, don't put them in that box if this is just something that they are interested in the moment. I feel like that our culture has taken feminine and masculine things and really made almost a cartoon character out of them. Like if you are a boy, you like superheroes and you like football. And if you don't, then you're really kind of not, you know, or if you're a girl, you've got to like purple, got to be a princess, got to do, and girls play sports and boys like costumes. I mean, they love to dress up, put on all kinds of costumes. So I would just say, affirm their gender, affirm that they were made by God in God's image to be either a boy or a girl, and make those, because I'm a binary person, you're either one or the other, a male or a female, but then know that there is a spectrum of femininity and masculinity within that gender. And so there can be, and you know, it's good to even read some classical literature to your kids. You know, think about Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. She was always competing with the boys. She was very smart. She was always skinning her knee on things. She was not a feminine little girl, but she was all girl. And boys that are maybe more poetic, tender-hearted, love music, are moved by art, enjoy that with them. But that does not mean that they're not a male. Still affirm that they are your son that you love so much, and that mm-hmm. and talk look at David. He was a warrior, but he was a songwriter, and mm-hmm. So the arts for boys have always been something very important. Men are gifted as artists as well. So I think it's the worry and the panic that they're not into some category mm-hmm. that you have shrunk the category so small.
It's interesting, actually, with my oldest, she is not a girly girl. She likes anything boy is pretty much what she likes, like all the superheroes, all the adventure and ninja and all that stuff. And there were a few times where she would say, oh, I wish I was a boy. Like, I just don't feel like a girl. Well, she didn't say I don't. She just said, I wish I was a boy. And so we kind of probed a little bit, like, okay, well, why do you feel like a boy? Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, because boys are stronger. And so that kind of led us into more discussion of like, okay, I'm going to amp up my examples of how I'm strong. And so my husband and I paired together and be like, okay, so I know you wrestle with daddy. You're going to wrestle with mommy now. And then I win. And she goes, right. What? I didn't know you were strong. And it was like, okay, I gotta do this more. And so it wasn't that she didn't feel feminine. It's just she saw women as weak. And so changing mm-hmm. that narrative, or like, you know, like she loves boy clothes because the boy clothes have the dinosaurs on them, which right. she loves. Right. And so then she'll say, well, I don't like dresses. And I'll say, yeah, but you actually do. Do you remember this one dress? You do like it, but you can still wear other things. Like she still does have boy clothes, but we say, yeah, girls can love those too. They're just as, you know, show her the archaeologist who was the female. And so like,
right.
you know, like showing people, yeah, in history who are like, or like, you know, the Disney princesses. So we watched Mulan and right. oh man, like, yeah, she figured out that, yeah, you can be both. Like yeah. it's not, it's yeah. Not something to be scared of that your kid is going towards one. It's no, like it's their interest. It's what God planted in their heart and mm-hmm. to affirm them in who God made them and find ways that they can use their gifts in the right way. Yeah.
That's so good. All right. Another question we got for you guys, changing in front of your kids. Okay. Not okay. What age to stop? Is it different if it's the same gender?
So we've had lots of lively discussions about this on Instagram because modesty is such a cultural thing. So it's been really interesting as our audience has become more global to hear from people all around the world kind of sharing these stories. And I'm curious about maybe Canada versus America, but I feel like modesty is almost like an American issue because the stories that we'll share is like, oh, I never change in front of my kids. You know, we'll have people, you know, over in Europe be like, are you kidding? My kids are in a bath house, you know, and like everybody's naked. Like what a weird culture you live in. So it's such a
norm.
Yeah, it just depends on where you live. So a kind of a blanket statement we always say at Birds and Bees is to respect the most modest person in the home. And so that kind of answers, or that is a kind of the blanket statement for, can my kids still bathe together? I have boys and girls. Do I have to stop changing in front of my kids? My husband have to stop changing in front of my kids. So to answer all that, there's not a right or wrong, or we don't say like, hey, well, by the time they're eight, everyone's done bathing. Right. You know, it's really not that case. Like if you have three kids and everyone's kind of still happy together and, you know, obviously this is all pre-puberty and changes and hair and all the fun stuff, but pre all of those body changes, if everybody's yeah. still happy bathing or walking around or changing in front of brothers' rooms or doing this with the sister, whatever, if it's not a problem, it's not a problem. And the same is for parents. You know, I think typically or generally speaking, the idea of privacy doesn't really come into play for a child until like late elementary school, you know, but be mindful of that. So if your daughter's all of a sudden saying things like, I don't really want to take a bath with my brothers anymore, respect that, you know, right. and kind of, okay, you get your own shower up down here. Or we're going to take turns or, you know, same thing with adults. Like if your kids, I've even noticed, you know, in my motherhood journey, there was just like an unspoken time where my older two stopped barging in while I was taking a shower. You know, and I didn't say anything about that, but they just kind of would open the door and say something as opposed to come right up to the shower and ask me a question. Yeah. It's just like a slow evolution, you know, and I didn't say anything about that at their mm-hmm. comfort level or whatever. And same with your partner. Like if he's totally fine, you know, running downstairs naked to grab his boxers or whatever, and the kids aren't even batting an eye, like no problem. Everyone's gonna have different modesty levels in the house. But if your son is kind of changing quietly in the corner and he's uncomfortable or looking away if you're changing, be mindful of the most modest person and kind of respect that modesty level.
Mm-hmm. Just to build on that, what about if the parent is the more modest one and doesn't want to change in front of their kids? Is that okay for the parent to say, hey, you know what? I'm not comfortable with you being here, or however you want to word that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You can definitely say, you know what? If you wouldn't mind, I'd just like to change my clothes without people watching. Yes. So if my door is closed, if you would knock, I'll grab a robe, or, you know, just be mindful of that for whatever reason, I'm just a little more modest than most people. I just don't like to change in front of other people. So
mm-hmm. And that's a totally fine ask. That, mm-hmm. as a mom, there's probably a certain ages where that's like
impossible.
Great. Thanks for saying that, but it's not going to happen. People are going to call on you. So at a certain level, there's no harm in saying, hey, guys, go outside. Mommy's changing her clothes. I'll be out in just a few minutes. Yeah. That's not a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
You might set the tone of modesty in your house, and that's fine too. But, you know, we all have those friends that's so wild. I never once saw my parents change. Or talk to someone, what? My dad would come downstairs without a shirt on every morning for breakfast. You know, it's like, there's just such a range. And so we kind of just say, respect the most modest person, because that's going to be different for everybody. And there's no like hard, fast rule.
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense.
All right. What resources would you recommend for parents with kids in their teens to keep this conversation going?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Actually, okay. I would say that in the back of our, one of our steps for continuing the conversation is part of our program. And I think it's a very good way to keep the conversation going and to talk about things in, when they're young, you're not going to introduce the dangers or the pleasures necessarily associated with sexual intercourse. But as it becomes a more powerful thing in their life, hormonally, and more of a pull, you need to have deeper and bigger conversations. So the conversation grows. As far as body parts changing, there are two books that we recommend, one for growing boys, and it's called Guy Stuff. And we'll give it to you. You can put it in the show notes if you want to.
Awesome.
And then The Care and Keeping of Me is...
You.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Care and Keeping of You is a book about a girl's changing parts and just hygiene and things like that. But honestly, I feel like there are lots of resources for parents of teens. And that's one thing but I guess we need to have a longer list of what those are, because we're kind of a niche of parents of young children. Mm-hmm.
But I would say, and Mary Flo's used this analogy when we've been talking before, it's like birds and bees in our course is essentially teaching you how to take the training wheels off and how to ride a bike. And then as your parents, as you know, our community, as their kids get older, and I'm kind of in the middle or about to launch into that middle school years too, is like, just keep writing, you know, just be that parent who's staying engaged and make this a topic you talk about. You know, there's not necessarily a script to follow, but it's to really fight for this understanding of like, this is what the Bible says about sex. This is what the world is saying about sex. Okay, go back to that. Hey, that conversation you guys had in the car today, ooh, that sounded like kind of disrespectful in the way that you were talking about this. Remember, sex is something that God designed. We should speak about this with a reverence. Or, okay, that whole sexting incident that happened in the 7th grade. Gosh, how do you think that they got there? How do you think she feels? How do you think those guys feel? You know, just be a parent who's engaging in these conversations, and you're not just, oh, okay, I did steps 1 through, you know, 6 from birds and bees. We're done. Phew, good luck. Godspeed. Go to that church program, see what you can find out. You're like, no, be the parent that's talking about it. Okay, wow, look at that unexpected pregnancy that happened to this friend we know at church. Like, let's talk about that. Do you understand that? I mean, just be that parent who has a voice on this topic. And kind of back to that verse we started with, a spirit of timidity. You know, we are so afraid to like let those things pass by on the newspaper or in the news or down the street or in the school and kind of think,
I
hope they don't ask me about that. Like, oh, that wasn't in my grade. We just dodged a bullet. Not at our school, just the neighboring school. Oof. It's like, no, be that parent who's going to speak into, let them hear your voice. And I think that's what I would encourage parents as their kids get older, is to be that kind of squeaky wheel. And say, gosh, you know, something we talk about at Birds and Bees is the beauty that God designed, the boundaries he created for our good, and then the brokenness of the world, and kind of engage in that filter of conversations of like, do you see why God intended it to be this way? Because this can cause a lot of problems. Now, yeah. Christ redeems all things for his glory. So we are not without hope. But do you understand how this happens? Or do you see these consequences over here? And so I really just want parents to feel like they can talk about this.
And that's exactly right. Just to grow in confidence and don't back off mm-hmm. when your children roll their eyes or act like, I'm not sure if I want to hear about this. Mm-hmm. But just say, I know you. This may be an awkward conversation because this is an embarrassing thing for that person, but let's just talk about how that person is feeling. But also I think, like, for example, when my kids were in middle school, we had an unwed mother come and live with us for, we thought it was going to be for a while. And she was, I mean, she was just in a desperate situation and we just volunteered in Sunday school was, well, she can come stay with us. Mm-hmm. And that was a learning situation for our kids because they were able to see, I mean, she was the most darling thing that at night I was like, I hope my girls don't grow up thinking that looks like so much fun. Thank you. She was so hilarious and cute and just darling. And I was like, okay, she's winning them over. But no, it was like, yes, darling, sweet, wonderful girl is keeping the baby. This is great. But do you see how her life will forever be different? Mm-hmm. This she and, you know, so once she did end up going back home, we had some really got great conversations that I didn't even have to bring up. The kids were like, you know what? She missed her friends or she missed going to the prom. She missed doing some of these things that I know she really wanted to do. And mm-hmm. I don't know, but have living examples, you know, visit families that need help, or if you encounter the brokenness and there it's all around us, so it's easy to encounter it. Just don't back away from talking about it. Mm-hmm. Let them see you act in love, but speak truth. Like, don't ignore the couple down the street that's not married. So, oh my goodness, they're living together and this is terrible. No, take them a meal and welcome them to the neighborhood and be kind. But then for your children, speak truth. Don't let them think that that is how it should be, but let them see that you we're here to love all people, not just the ones who line up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you guys so much. Before you go, where, if people are listening and they're like, oh my gosh, I need more of this, mm-hmm. where can people find you? How can they engage with you, interact with you?
You can find us in two places, particularly online. Our website is birds-bees.com. And that is where you can find our online course. And so really the most comprehensive resource we have is from start to finish, preschool to preteen, comes with a digital discussion guide, which is like 42 pages of questions to really enhance everything. If you're just like, can't get enough. but really, we encourage you to start talking to your spouse or small group about these questions, because if, to your point in your business, if you're not comfortable talking to your spouse about sex, you're really not going to be comfortable talking to your kids about this. Totally. And so it's kind of twofold. And so our discussion guide is really to kind of help you take that first step with your spouse, if you're married, to kind of like, hey, well, how do you want to handle this? What do you think sex is? What do you think is intended for? Is your understanding more biblical based? Is your understanding more culturally based? I mean, just like lots of conversations that are helpful. And that all comes with the course online. And then to day-to-day stuff, you can follow us on Instagram, and that's birds_bees. doesn't sound as catchy, but you can find us on there too. And we just share a lot of talking tips on there, kind of a bunch of our frequently asked questions.
It's a great conversation.
Yeah, we kind of just
very engaging.
Lots of, it's a great community. I think it's always insightful to hear from other parents about what they're doing, and also reassuring. I mean, to say that we get the same questions over and over and over again from all over the world, I think makes people feel better. Like, oh, I thought my daughter was the only one touching your private parts. You know, it's like, no, this is our most frequently asked question. So find us on Instagram and on our online course.
Awesome. And yeah, anyone who's listening, if you guys are debating the course, just do it. You will not regret it, I promise you. And we do have a discount code. It's in the show notes. So you guys can, we help you out a little bit there. Before we close, any questions or final thoughts?
Yeah, I just thought it was amazing. I think it's great to have those like little conversations where you're the one speaking it into your children's lives, because regardless, someone's going to be speaking it into their lives, whether it's you or whether it's the culture around them, right? Mm-hmm. Peers and whatnot. So yeah, I think it's so great to be like, just do it, even though you feel weird about it and it might be awkward and it might, yeah, totally crash and burn. You can circle back. I love how you worded that. So yeah, I think it's just really great reminder for parents to be like, don't be scared about it. Just do it.
Yeah. And I would also say too, that if you think like, oh yeah, my kids are still really, really young. Mm. that's okay. You can still purchase it and listen to it because it's good knowledge to know even as they're like the littles, just do the course.
Yeah. once you start using vocabulary, you know, that's like the main things. And so potty training is not too young to have, you know, just a building block of small parts of information.
Yeah. I have a funny story about that. After we took the course, one of the big things that my wife and I introduced was uterus versus tummy, that you guys go over that in the course. And so my we were driving one day. It was just me and the boys. And my son from the back, he's like, "Dad, how does the baby get out of the uterus?" And so I explained to him, I said, "Well, we have a birth canal and the baby will come down the birth canal and go out the vagina." And they're very familiar with the word vagina and all the anatomy. So my son's like, "Yeah." And there's, or sometimes if there's an emergency, the doctor will have to cut the baby out. And my wife had just called and I turned the phone on and I looked back at my son. I said, "Tell mom what you just said." And he said the question, and I was like, "Yeah, babe, we just learned that babies go from the uteruses through the birth canal out the vagina, or the doctor cuts them out." And she's like, "Oh my goodness."
But
it was so cool because we had just done the course, we had just started changing our terminology, and I had like no fear. I had so much confidence in giving that answer. And so yeah, that's the biggest thing, is after the course we had so much confidence and felt so empowered. So yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
That's the goal. There you go. Yeah. And I think too, once you start having these conversations, you as a parent realize nobody freaked out when you said that.
Yeah. Totally. You're
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And you're like, and you don't have to talk about it for an hour.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good exactly. It's over. Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah.
Awesome. Right, so before we go, do one of you guys mind praying before we close up?
Sure.
Awesome.
Father God, we thank you that by the beauty of your design, you have given us the gift of sex for marriage. And we know that you designed it for your purposes, for oneness in marriage, and for fruitfulness to have children. So we thank you for that good gift. And we ask, Father, that you would empower parents to understand the goodness of it, to understand the beauty of it, to understand the boundaries that you set around it, and to have empathy for the brokenness that is now surrounding us. Lord, I pray that you would give parents courage and wisdom and joy, and see it as a privilege to be able to talk to their children about these things that you created for your purposes. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Awesome. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much. It was such a treat to visit with you.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like our content, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, and tell your friends too. Thanks so much for journeying with us today as we tackled the hard questions and dive deep into godly intimacy. Make sure you follow us on Instagram to see more of our content and check the show notes for any links we might have mentioned in today's episode. We're so grateful to be on this journey with you, and we can't wait to see you in the next episode.